Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series that we're calling Labels. We're studying through the Gospel of Luke. And we were in Delaware Luke 10, and specifically looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. And one of the things I told folks at the beginning, sometimes I think with the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's so familiar and it's maybe referenced so often that the danger with familiarity is that you maybe don't look at it as closely as you should. You sort of check it off in your brain like, oh, I know what that's about. It's about, being a good neighbor. And we fail to see the significance and the power and the depth of the story. And so what happens is that a teacher of the law asks Jesus, how does he inherit eternal life? And he's not really wanting to know the answer to that. He's trying to trap Jesus. And, Jesus says, well, how do you read the law, right? What does it say? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yep, good answer. Go ahead and do that and you'll live. And of course, so here's what's challenging. He goes on to say, well, who's my neighbor? And he's trying to sort of justify himself, is what the scriptures say. He's trying to limit down, well, who's my neighbor? Because, I can't love everybody like that. And Jesus ends up telling him the parable of the Good Samaritan, which really, it indirectly answers the question, who's my neighbor? Anyone in need. But really, it asks the question or answers the question, how do I be a good neighbor? What does it look like to be a good neighbor? And the answer to that is when you see people's needs, you meet the needs, even at great cost to yourself, and you really are willing to inconvenience yourself. You have compassion on that person in such a way that it moves you to pity and to action and even to inconveniencing yourself. When you look at the way the Samaritan loves and shows mercy to the man on the road, first, it's a Samaritan and a Jew. So it's a person that he says, man, this person's not from my group of people, not from my tribe, as it were. And yet, I'm going to move past that and love this person anyway. In fact, those two groups hated each other. And I'm going to move past that hatred and that animosity, and I'm going to show undeserved compassion and love at great cost to myself. It totally disrupts his schedule, He spends a lot of money. I mean, he pours wine and oil and uses resources, gives the man his own animal on a 17-mile trek, totally inconveniences himself, and then pays hundreds of dollars to put the guy up at a hotel, basically, for several days and tells the innkeeper, when I get back, I'll pay any of the other, bill that he's racked up. And so it's really extraordinary, extravagant love. And Jesus says, go do likewise. And so I think one of the questions that comes out of it is, man, if that's what it means to be a neighbor, like, does Jesus actually expect us to go and do that and act that way? And the answer is, he does. But as his followers and as his people redeemed by grace, and that's so important. It is not go do this and maybe then you'll get saved. Go be a great neighbor and love your neighbor perfectly, and then maybe God will love you. It is so important that we remember, the Apostle Paul tells us, right, Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, he's been put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And so this type of love, loving your neighbor this way, none of us are going to, even if you were to do that perfectly from today on, the reality is all of us have fallen utterly short of that standard, let alone loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a real answer, right? You inherit eternal life by loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving your neighbor as yourself. The problem is none of us do that. None of us have done that. The only person who's done that is Christ. The only one who did that perfectly is Jesus. So it's so important for us to remember that the command and the call to go love our neighbor like ourselves is an outworking of our salvation, not a means to it. It's not, hey, go love your neighbor this way and then God will love you and you'll be saved. It's, look, you need to have your heart transformed by grace through faith in Jesus. And then as his follower, with your heart transformed, it should transform your life, your actions. It should be faith working itself out through love, because faith without works is dead. Yes, Jesus really does expect his followers to go and do this. But we go and say, Lord, I want to love others like that because of the way you've loved me. And by grace, through faith, I am saved. I am your child. I am forgiven. And now by the power of your Holy Spirit, will you help me go be a good neighbor to those around me? Let me pray for you, and then let me encourage that you take some time just to pray and reflect on this for yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you have shown us such extravagant love. Lord, you saw us in our condition, in our brokenness, and you didn't pass by on the other side of the road. You bound up our wounds, and God, you forgave our sin by your death at the cross, and we thank you for that. We can never repay you, but Father, we can obey you and go out into the world and be this kind of neighbor and love people the way that you loved. Help us to do that as your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.